Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we're studying Yeshayahu Perek Chaf Tet. Our last perek ended with the idea that God will have to plow the city of Yerushalayim in order to replant and start over again with people who have renewed their commitment to be an Am Hashem, a holy nation. This perek begins by continuing that nevuah, with Yeshayahu lamenting over the downfall of Yerushalayim, which he calls Ariel in Pasuk Aleph. Hoy Ariel Ariel Kiryat Chana David, Sifu Shana al Shana Chagim Yin Kofu. O Ariel Ariel, city where David camped, add year to year, let festivals come in their cycles. The name Ariel applies to Yerushalayim for a few reasons. And Ariel is a lion. Yerushalayim was the capital of Malchut Yehuda, the territory governed by the tribe of Yehuda, whose symbol was a lion. The Gemara in Masechet Yuma describes the Mizbeach of the first Beit HaMikdash as having a fire that crouched like a lion above the wood. Perhaps for this reason, Yechezkel refers to the Mizbeach as Ariel in his detailed description of his vision of the Beit HaMikdash. Abarbanel explains that the Mizbeach was the source of holiness at the heart of the city, which is why the name is appropriate for the city itself. He also suggests that Yerushalayim served God like a lion, with pride and strength as capital of his holy nation. Yeshayahu also calls Yerushalayim Kiryat Chana David, the city where David HaMelech camped. Ibn Ezra explains simply that Yerushalayim was the city where David lived. Malbim suggests that the strength and glory of the city of Yerushalayim was its king, the righteous David. Of course, we remember the special love David had for the city of Yerushalayim, the excitement with which he brought the Aron Kodesh into the city, the deep yet unfulfilled desire he had to build the Beit HaMikdash to give that Aron a permanent home. Radak understands this pasuk as a reference to the very last story in Sefer Shmuel Bet, when the Jewish people are suffering from a plague that David knows is a punishment from Hashem. David is desperate to stop the plague, and God Hanavi instructs David to build a mizbeach on a particular spot, which was on the threshing floor of Aravna Hayavusi on top of a mountain. David rushes to build this mizbeach and immediately offers sacrifices on it, and God responds, the plague stops. Radak explains that this spot is Har HaMoriah, the future site of the Beit HaMikdash, and David is the first to build a Mizbeach there. This is why, says Radak, our Pasuk mentions David. After opening the Perek with the word Ariel, a nickname for the Mizbeach, it's appropriate to mention David as the original builder of an Ariel on that holy spot. In Pasuk Bet, Hashem says he will oppress Yerushalayim, and there will be moaning and groaning, and then V'haitali ka'Ariel, the city of Yerushalayim will be like Ariel. What does this mean? Originally, the entire city was referred to as Ariel. So what does Hashem mean when he says now that after punishing the city, it will be like Ariel? Rashi gives a grim explanation, suggesting that the city will be surrounded by Jewish corpses like the Mizbeach was surrounded by the bodies of animals for sacrifice. Ibn Ezra agrees and adds that the city will be desolate and wasted, like the Mizbeach will now be desolate, empty of all sacrifices. This certainly justifies moaning and groaning, described in the Pasuk as Ta'aniya ve'aniya. This phrase is borrowed by Yirmiyahu in the second perek of Megillat Eicha. Vayerev bevat Yehuda ta'aniya ve'aniya. God will increase the moans and groans of Yehuda as they mourn over the destruction of their city. Malbim, however, explains that when the city is oppressed, we will moan and groan in lament over our suffering, which will spur us to do teshuva, v'hayta li ka'ariel, and then the city will once again be like Ariel, will serve Hashem properly like it once did. Pasuk Gimel begins to describe what the oppression of the city of Yerushalayim will look like. The Pasuk seems to play off of the idea that Yerushalayim was once Kiryat Chana David, the place where David camped. Now instead, V'chaniti kadur alayich, v'tzarti alayich mutzav, v'hakimoti alayich mitzurot. I will camp against you, around you. I will lay siege to you with a mound, and I will set up siege works against you. Yerushalayim will be surrounded by an enemy encampment. Our Mefarshim agree that this refers to the siege of Yerushalayim by the Assyrian army during the reign of Chizkiyahu, and not to the later and final siege of the city by the Babylonians. Perhaps this identification of this siege as Assyrian is related to the next pasuk. B'shafalt me'eretz tidaberi u'me'afar tishach imratech, v'haya ke'ov me'eretz kolech u'me'afar imratech titzavtzef. And you will speak from lower than the ground. Your speech will be humbler than the sod. Your speech will sound like a ghost's from the ground. Your voice will chirp from the sod. Abarbanel connects this pasuk to the narrative in Malachim Bet that describes the confrontation between Assyrian officer Rav Shakeh and Chizkiyahu's delegation of representatives. Rav Shaked loudly asserts his intimidating power and threatens to destroy Yerushalayim, and the pasuk describes the response from Team Chizkiyahu. First, a quiet response. Ve'al tedaber imanu Yehudit be'oznei ha'am asher al hachoma. Do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people on the wall. In other words, they whisper to Rav Shaked to speak quietly, only to them, so that the other Jews within earshot won't hear. But Rav Shaked only speaks louder, declaring his intent to conquer the city. This time, Chizkiyahu's delegates offer no response at all. Ve'hecherishu ha'am ve'lo anu oto davar. But the people were silent and did not say a word in reply. This, says Abarbanel, is what our pasuk means when it describes the speech of Yerushalayim as ghostly, humble, a mere chirp or a whisper. The subsequent psukim in our perek also seem to be describing the episode of the Assyrian siege of Yerushalayim as narrated in Melachim Bet. In psukim Hay through Zion of our perek, Yeshayahu describes Hashem's sudden salvation of the city of Yerushalayim. V'haya lefeta pitom, me'im Hashem tzvakot tipaked bera'am uvera'ash v'kol gadol, sufa u'se'ara v'lahav esh ochela. And suddenly, in an instant, she will be remembered by Hashem with roaring and shaking and deafening noise, storm and tempest, and a blaze of consuming fire. V'haya kachalom chazon laila hamon kol hagoyim hatzovim al Ariel v'chol tzoveha umetzodata v'hametzikim la. Then, like a dream, a vision of the night will be the multitude of nations that war upon Ariel, and all her besiegers and the siege works against her, and those who harass her. Although it seemed like the Assyrians would conquer and destroy the city, suddenly Hashem will swoop in with a storm and end the siege, as if it was all a bad dream. And this is indeed what Sefer Melachim describes. After Chizkiyahu HaMelech davens to Hashem to save Yerushalayim from the Assyrians, God delivers. Vayhi balayla hahu vayetze malach Hashem vayach b'machane Ashur 185 alef. Vayashkimu baboker vehine kulam pigarim metim. That night an angel of Hashem went out and struck down 185,000 in the Assyrian camp, and the following morning they were all dead corpses. A swift and immediate end to the Assyrian threat. Yeshayahu continues the dream metaphor in Pasuk Chet. Just like we will wake up from the nightmare of Assyrian occupation and find ourselves free, the Assyrians will also wake up from a dream. They dreamed of eating and being full, but wake up and find themselves hungry. They dreamed of quenching their thirst for Yerushalayim, but wake up and find themselves parched. Yerushalayim is saved, for now, but not for long. The next section of our perek turns to what will happen to Yerushalayim at the hands of the Babylonians, who will follow the Assyrians as our oppressors. Why would God save Yerushalayim from the Assyrians just to destroy it by the hands of the Babylonians? Pasuk Tet gives us the reason. Hitmahamu utmahu hishta'ashu vashu, shachru velo yayin na'u velo shechar. Act stupid and be stupefied, act blind and be blinded. They are drunk but not from wine, they stagger but not from liquor. Abarbanel explains that we heard the warnings of the Navi and acted stupid. We saw the writing on the wall and acted blind. We ignored our sins, ignored our accountability for those sins, and ignored the consequences that we knew would come. This is the meaning of the next few psukim, Yud through Yud Bet. Ki nasach aleichem Hashem ruach tardema ve'yatzeim et einechem, et hanevi'im ve'et roshechem hachozim kisa. You're in a deep sleep, your eyes are closed, as are the eyes of the false prophets and fortune tellers. Abarbanel explains that we will blame Hashem for this slumber. Ki nasach aleichem Hashem ruach tardema. We will act like it's Hashem who sent this deep sleep, like it was Hashem who closed our eyes, blaming God for our ignorance of the Navi's warnings of extreme consequences. However, this deep sleep, this ignorance, is our own fault. We listened to the words of false prophets, who assured us that Yerushalayim would be saved despite our lack of repentance. Vatehi lachem chazut hakol kedivrei hasefer hachatum. We viewed the words of the true Nevi'im like a sealed document. Asher yitnu oto el yodei hasefer lemor kira naze ve'amar lo uchal ki chatumhu. When asked to read it, we refused, saying, "We can't, it's sealed." Abarbanel explains that the yodei hasefer, the reader in our pasuk, refers to the chachamim, our sages and leaders who knew how to interpret the words of our Nevi'im, but refused to do so. V'nitan hasefer al asher lo yada sefer lemor kira naze ve'amar lo yadati sefer. We avoided listening to the words of Nevuah, saying instead, "We can't read." In this pasuk, explains Abarbanel, those who refuse to listen to the Nevi'im are lo yodei hasefer, the simple Jews, the hamonam, the regular people who also ignored the prophetic words of warning by protesting that they didn't understand what the Navi meant. Yeshayahu continues, ויאמר השם, יען כי ניגש העם הזה בפיו ובשפתיו כיבדוני וליבו רחק ממני, ותהי יראתם אותי מצוות אנשים מלומדה. Hashem said, because that people has approached me with its mouth and honored me with its lips, but has kept its heart far from me, and its worship of me has been a commandment of men learned by rote. Hashem is disgusted by our lip service, our pretense that we didn't know any better, our false promises to serve him when in our hearts we were actually ignoring Hashem and his mitzvot. Abarbanel and Malbim explained that any worship of Hashem that we were doing was mitzvat anashim melumada, just out of habit, with no feeling or meaning behind it. Malbim explains, we gave God these excuses for our behavior, thinking it would bring us closer to him and heal our relationship, but our lack of sincerity only served to push God away. Vilibo rachak mimeni. Pasuk Tetvav continues this idea. Those who deny the Torah as God's word, those who even deny God as the creator of the universe, do so in secret, professing their allegiance to God with their lips and hiding their true feelings and actions in deep and dark privacy. They do this because they ask rhetorically, Mi ro'enu umi yodenu? Who can see us? Who can know our secret thoughts? They mistakenly believe that their secret is safe, that Hashem will only judge their external lip service and won't be able to see what's in their hearts. However, as Yirmiyahu HaNavi articulates, V'Hashem tzvakot shofet tzedek bochein klayot valev. Hashem is the true judge who tests and judges our hearts and minds. He can see past the facade of routine observance of mitzvot of the people of Yerushalayim into the treacherous thoughts and feelings inside. Therefore, says Hashem, one pasuk earlier in pasuk Yodalid, Lachein hinini yosef lahafliya ta'am hazeh hafle vafele, ve'avda chachmat chachamav uvinat nevonav tistatar. Truly, I will further baffle that people with bafflement upon bafflement. The wisdom of its wise will fail, and the prudence of its prudent will vanish. Malbim explains, they claim to be confused, baffled by the words of the Nevi'im. So I'll punish them mida keneged mida, measure for measure, by actually confusing them, by concealing my words from them, denying their sages the ability to interpret the words of the Torah and truly get closer to Hashem. But, says Hashem in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Halo od me'at mizar v'shav levanon la'karmel v'ha'karmel la'ya'ar ye'chashev. Surely soon Lebanon will be transformed into farmland, and farmland considered a forest. Malbim explains, soon it will become clear to all that the words of the Nevi'im are coming true. The lands of our enemies will be destroyed, the mighty cedars of Lebanon transformed into kindling. God will fulfill his promise to save the Jewish people. Those who humbly served Hashem will rejoice. Evil will be vanquished. And at that time, Bishamu bayom hahu hacherchim divrei sefer umeofel umechoshech enei ivrim tirena. Those who were once deaf to Hashem's words will hear the words of the Nevi'im. Those who turned a blind eye, claiming they couldn't read the sealed document of prophecy, will see those nevuot come true. And, says Yeshayahu in the last pasuk of our perek, as they are forced to acknowledge the truth of God's prophecies, ve'yadu to'ei ruach bina, even those who claimed confusion will be enlightened, will understand that God is indeed the creator of the universe, ve'rognim yilmedu lekach, and will commit to observing Torah and mitzvot with sincerity and a full heart. Thank you for studying together, le'ilui nishmat Malka Esther bat Zvi Yosef.